Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
I'm Jane Kawaski, experimental psychologist, Dr. J, and host of the Social Network Show, along with my co-host, Jim Nico, founder and CEO of Social Network Intermedia, LLC. Jim has a special guest today, and I'll ask him to do the introductions.
Yes, I'd like to welcome Corinne Lines, who lives and works in New York City and is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for AdPack USA. AdPack USA brings the Japanese model of tissue pack advertising to the United States. In her leadership role, she's responsible for the development of strategic partnerships with ad agencies, advertisers, suppliers, and various media organizations.
Welcome, Corinne, to the Social Network Show.
Thank you so much, Jim and Dr. J, for having me. I'm so excited. This is my first radio show, so see how I can do.
Well, you're so welcome, and it's very interesting because when I discovered, actually I was looking for this tissue pack advertising that I'd heard of a long time ago, and I was just absolutely fascinated by it. One of the reasons is because I find it to be so practical. In other words, if you put your logo on a tissue pack, and people, it's something that people can use, you know. And so I've been fascinated. So can you tell us a little bit about the history of the company and how it works, please?
I can, absolutely. I'll tell you a little bit about how tissue pack advertising began.
Okay.
It was a phenomenon in Japan. Historically, one of the most popular giveaways in Japan was little boxes of matches, which was also really popular here in the States. I remember when I was a kid. And
boxes of matches.
Match boxes, yeah. That was historically like one of the giveaways in Japan that was really big. And a tissue manufacturer in the southern part of Japan in the prefecture of Kochi was looking to bring his tissue products to the market in a much bigger way. So he thought, you know, what's utilitarian? What's something everybody needs? He thought tissues. So then he created in around 1969 the idea of a tissue pack and using it for advertisement. So that's sort of how it began. And in Japan, it's like, it's everywhere. Anywhere you go, I actually lived and worked in Japan for a couple of years and have seen it in practice, and it really is. Over 4 billion packs are distributed every year in the streets of Japan, and it's around a $700 million a year industry there. So this is, we're sort of bringing that idea to the U.S.
That's a great idea because I'm just comparing it to like other promotionals such as ballpoint pens. And to me, I see the difference is that you can see the product being used up. You see how many tissues you've got left. It's not, you never know how much ink is left if it works to begin with. But that way there's a limited supply. People are not going to throw it away because they can see how much they've got left.
Yeah, absolutely. And they say that the impact of the messaging on it, because every time you go and look at it, it makes a deeper and deeper impact, where like you still have that with a pen because you're using it, but there's so much more ad space that's available there to you on a tissue pack. So they figure, yeah, at least that gives you, there's a lot more value there in terms of advertising space.
Well, and I love the practicality, too. I mean, I think that's a really brilliant example that Jane comparing the product to a pen, wherein I know I've picked up pens and not all the time noticed who may have given me the pen, and there's an ad on there. But with the tissues, yeah, we got our sample package, fascinating. I'm looking at one right now. It's got these dogs on it, and the pictures, and I'm reminded here of one of the campaigns you did with Yukon Territories. I think it's just fascinating that kids can also, and plus these little tissue packs, and I know you have several different kinds, but these are so cool because kids can, I mean, I know when I was a kid, this may sound corny, but I liked these little packs of Kleenex in those days because it just seemed personal and, you know, you could put it in your pocket. But I love the idea here that in this Don't Be Sick campaign, I love the idea that you're reinforcing with maybe pictures that kids would really like, the idea of them being cleaner, learning hygiene in kind of a fun way. And I just think it's ingenious. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, because I really believe in this product. And Jane, like, she stole this pack from me, by the way.
It's Wagware. Yeah, it has, that's why it's got little dogs on it. It's clothes for dogs.
Yes.
So your client, whoever is doing the advertising, will provide the pictures or the text or whatever. But tell us a little bit about that Yukon campaign.
Absolutely. So for that campaign, we partner with Aspen Branding Communications. Their tagline is Branding on Purpose. They are up in the Yukon Territories in Canada. So it was one of our international campaigns. We were a global organization. We'll provide to anybody, but it was rather close to home up in Canada. And, their target was to try to reduce the incidence of illness among children ages 4 to 10. By teaching them simple hygiene practices. And so they use these critter characters, which you guys referenced, that they're very cute. Of course, we wish we could show you, everyone who's listening, what they really look like, but they're these really adorable, endearing little characters that have a cold, basically. They have some kind of head cold, and they're wiping their noses and stuff, and the tagline is, don't be sick, like don't be gross. And they're teaching kids to sneeze into their elbows, to use a tissue instead of wiping their nose with the back of their hand, to handle their illness in a more hygienic way. So that's sort of what the campaign's about. And that was back at the time when H1N1 was having somewhat of an outbreak a few years back. I think it was 2009. And so this was a campaign to try to reduce that occurrence in communities where the Canadian government felt they were at risk. So that's what was sort of behind that campaign. They actually did an interesting, we do wet wipes as well, and they also did a resealable 10-pack of wet wipes that they put in the mail. We can't do those kind of campaigns here in the States, but Canada has different rules and regulations about that stuff. And they actually sent a similar pack of wet wipes out, and with the same thing, it was like wipe off shared surfaces, wipe off the steering wheel of the car, wipe off the lunch space in a cafeteria in a workplace, for example. So it was they had the older set that they were targeting with the wet wipes, and then they did this cool younger campaign with the critters. So that was kind of the range there.
I could see that being really effective too, because hand to mouth contamination, that's how most colds spread.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think it was a very effective campaign for them as well.
Interesting too, in the terms of timing, wherein kids are not necessarily going to pick up some of these hygiene habits in the scheme of things or in their daily routine, but this makes a fun interlude, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think that I love that part. So in the United States, maybe even including Canada, what kind of obstacles do you see to this kind of marketing? Now, it was very successful in Japan where it started, but are there obstacles that maybe even if we talk about that can be overcome?
Yeah. There are, of course, there's just a cultural, I think in general, Americans sometimes can be, and in general, we get these out a lot with street teams. So we hand these out on the street, and sometimes Americans don't like to take things that they receive on the street. So we sort of educate our street teams, and we have different methods for getting the word across about what we are distributing. And of course, the branding on them obscures what's really inside. So sometimes people don't really know, and they're a little bit, I don't know if I want to take that. Like any pamphlet, right? They're just not sure. But so then, street teamers will say, it's just tissues, it's a tissue pack. And then we find that those people will come back time and time again going, oh, can I get one for my mom? Can I get one for my girlfriend? They want to make excuses about it. So it's kind of funny. But yeah, a little bit of education about what it is you're giving out. Like I've seen with street teams, you think, oh, everybody wants a can of soda. Like if there's a new can of soda, like we get a lot of distribution stuff here, new stuff in New York that they want to bring out to the market. So, oh, there's this new kind of Coca-Cola, let's say, right? And people are like, I don't want to carry a heavy drink, or it's cold, or I'm on the way to a business meeting. But everybody's like, oh, a tissue pack? Like, I can find a spot for that. It's not heavy. There's not a lot of resistance to it. So once we overcome what it is, then I feel like, yeah, there's, I'd say, 85 to 95% uptake we've seen in the distributions we do, which is fairly good for a giveaway on the street.
Wow, interesting. Jane?
We're talking with Corinne Lines of AdPack, and we will be taking a short break and talking with her in the next segment about other aspects of this unique advertising opportunity.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
Kelly Keller, an intellectual property attorney specializing in internet law and social media issues. Join me on The Kelly Keller Show right here on the Social Network Station. Together with my guests, we will tackle tough legal problems presented by the ever-increasing use of social media in everyday business. Through dynamic conversations, we will discuss your rights and responsibilities in the new media world so the hard work you have put into developing your brand, business, and products does not go to waste. How does the law's response to the social media explosion affect you? Join me on The Kelly Keller Show to learn more.
Now, back to The Social Network Show.
Welcome back to The Social Network Show, where we are discussing AdPack USA with the owner of that business, Corinne Lines.
Yes, exactly. And Corinne, by the way, before we move too much further, how can people find out more about your company and your products and maybe the possibility of advertising with AdPack USA?
Perfect. Yeah, you can find us online at www.adpack, which is ADPACKUSA.com. And we have, contact us there. We'll send samples so you can better understand the product. And we're open to answer any questions anytime by email, phone, whatever works best. Thanks.
Excellent.
For that.
And are you out on any of the other networks like Twitter, for example, or would you rather
people? Yeah, we are.
Okay. Oh, cool.
We are. When we do distributions, whenever clients want to do street teams, we do always tweet where our locations are, where distributions are happening, wherever they are, whether it's New York City or Atlanta or L.A. We've had street teams all over. We'll put that out, and we're also on Facebook with just, like, usually images from the distributions we've had, which can be, you know, pretty exciting stuff. So, yeah, we're on both.
What is your Twitter handle?
You know what? I can't think of it off the top of my head. I think it's at AdPack.
Yeah,
it might be AdPack USA.
I'm sure that if we put AdPack, P-A-C-K, in the search column or line, we'll find you. And
I think it is.
I think it would probably be a good idea for anyone in business, if they feel they're coming down with a cold, to get your sample pack.
Absolutely. They are the softest tissues. We always have people compliment us on the softness of them. So I definitely think they will get you through your cold.
Well, interesting, too. I saw, looking through some of the literature, that Alka-Seltzer had done some things. And then I didn't even know there was Legally Blonde, the musical. I love the movie. You know, I love the movie. But so there was a musical. They were involved. So you've had some major players involved in the USA campaigns, et cetera. Where do you see this going in the future? I mean, in terms of a dream, can you see niches that maybe we haven't seen?
Well, I hope. I think it will. I mean, as you said, Alka-Seltzer Plus did some campaign, which is over-the-counter, an OTC brand. I hope that in the future we'll get some more pharmaceutical brands that are interested, that think it's a good fit for them, because I do think it's a really good product for reaching their audiences. But yeah, it's been fun in entertainment, as you said. It's been very popular for Broadway musicals. We've done like 5 or 6 shows now, and I guess maybe that's something to do with us being based here in New York.
Yeah.
And just having, you know, Legally Blonde had such great success. And so I think it's just kind of become a windfall after that. It's become kind of known in that industry that it's a good way to get the word out. And in Times Square, where TKTS booths are and things like that, where there's so much foot traffic, I think it's just a really seamless product to use in that facet of the marketplace. So yeah, hopefully we can grow in entertainment and hopefully maybe in healthcare and pharma and the pharma industry. Both of those would be great.
Well, I hope you look into Las Vegas because there's certainly a lot of foot traffic and lots of entertainment here.
And it's so true. And I was reflecting because Jim had mentioned that. And when I was there last, which was a few years back, I thought of that because there are a fair few people handing out pamphlets on the strip, and I thought, yeah, it's a really good application. So you're right. Hopefully it will get a little bit more popular further west as well. That would be a wonderful thing to see.
Okay, and that's what I'm thinking because it's I think Vegas is a real natural place for this, and I've got some ideas on how we may be able to promote your products, which I really believe in. And I love that. Oh, by the way, can you talk a little bit about the different products? It's I noticed that there's also a green or eco-friendly element. Can you tell us about like exactly what the products are and how many are available, et cetera, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. So, yeah, we have a green focus. We're definitely about renewable and things that we can biodegrade back into the ground. So we offer a green tissue pack, which the inks on that pack are water-based. So there's nothing to fear there. The pack itself will biodegrade in 30 to 300 days, depending on the environment that it's in. So, you know, if it's a climate that's very dry, you might not have biodegradation happening as quickly. But if it's where there's, you know, moisture in the air and a kind of more diverse environment, then we do find that it biodegrades more rapidly. And then, of course, the tissues themselves are biodegradable. So that's the green pack. That's sort of the cornerstone of the green business. We also do Japanese-style fans. You can imagine the very traditional sort of Asian-style fan that sort of opens left to right as you peel it. So that way it's compact, and then, of course, it's paper material that's in between, and then those are like wood. Those are bamboo in between, the sticks that hold the paper together. And then we brand those. So we do that, and we do resealable wet wipes. And we do also what's called oshibori in Japanese, which is like a branded wet wipe. Like, you know how you go into a Japanese restaurant and they'll give you a wet towel to wipe your hands with?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they brand those and they put them in foil packets in Japan. And so, of course, they're washable. They're 100% cotton and you can use them again and again. So we've had people use those for like NASCAR races. They've branded them and then people use them to like armor all their cars and things like that. So it's not necessarily biodegradable, but it's something that people can use again and again.
Wow.
And it has that branding on it. So that's one of the things. So yeah, tissues, wet wipes, fans, and these kind of washcloths that are reusable. They're branded. That's kind of like our product range.
I have a question about your having bought the USA part of this business, because as you may know that empowering women is a part of our focus on the show. What were the things that you considered and any obstacles or barriers that you needed to overcome in deciding to go ahead and take the risks involved in purchasing the actual rights and make your own company?
Mm-hmm. Well, there was so much involved in that, because not only the fact that I'm a woman, but the fact that I'm not Japanese, and the company that originally founded ADPAC is a very, it's called Isochu, and they're very much 100% Japanese. Any Japanese person that you ever mention that brand to, that corporation, which is a multinational conglomerate, they will know it immediately. It's like saying Honda, you know, we know Honda in America, but that's the same for them there. And it's just like, it's one and the same. It's a massive company. And so not only did I have to convince them that as a woman I could take it on, it was about also proving that I was trustworthy, because they, you know, they do perceive us as the kid called gaijin, like an outsider, somebody who's outside of the Japanese race. Uh-huh. So you do have to also, I had already worked there for like 5 years and I had lived there for two. So I had that kind of working on my side. But in addition, yeah, you needed to sort of win their trust. And so you just, lots of PowerPoints, lots of how you can perpetuate the business, how you're going to overcome obstacles, and just showing them all your contingency strategies and plans and how you can, you know, keep it going and earning that trust. And finally, you know, they came around and said, okay, yeah, we trust that you can keep going. And also getting the manufacturers on the Japanese side to, again, trust somebody who's not one of their own. Part of that was partnering with a Japanese woman that I've worked with in the design aspect for the last 7 years, and her name is Kyoko Shigemasu, and she's amazing, and she's done great things for me because, of course, her Japanese is perfect, so she does all of the design side, talking with the manufacturers and making sure that everything is perfect on their side and our side. So it's been partnering with the right people, I think, and building the trust slowly but surely, and that's through cultural norms like gifts and, you know, all the things that they expect when they're doing business with a regular Japanese company, to fall in line with that culturally and understand what their expectations are and sort of fulfill those.
Well, I'm glad that Dr. J mentioned about women's empowerment, because we're working very hard to help women and girls worldwide gain a stage, a platform where their voices are not just heard in a local way, but are amplified around the world. And part of that, too, is that we're working on cyberbullying and trying to make schools and life online safer for kids and everyone, really. And I think this fits into that, because, like, the hygiene is part of that. I mean, you want to be safe and you want to be healthy hygienically. And so we're working on the mental side of that with many of our strategic partners. And I think maybe we can insert this physical side. And I believe they're going to love the product. And I really have to also say, I think you're a brilliant visionary to take this on, because as you described it, this was not an easy task to really overcome the even cultural barriers. And I can see why they trust you, though. You're very good at presenting the product.
Oh, I hope so. And I do. I think it's great that the work that you guys are doing to empower women. And I do think we have done social campaigns, and this has been used as that platform in that sense, which I can share with you guys. But there was an Army campaign about children dropping out of high school and trying to keep people, you know, in school, and once finishing high school to go on and enter the Army. So there's been, that's one of the social campaigns that's been around, but I do think it can be a platform for empowerment. And yeah, I'm more than happy and I'm delighted to discuss ways that the product can work in those, you know, in those aspects.
Okay, and so let's pursue that, and we'll be looking for AdPack USA on Twitter. The show will be up soon, and Dr. J's going to give a little closing here, and we hope you come back, Corinne, because we're definitely excited about AdPack USA.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you for listening. Please mention to your social networks, online and off, that you enjoy The Social Network Show. And check out our webpage, thesocialnetworkshow.com. And if you like receiving email updates, click on the blog tab for the subscription form to receive those email updates. So until we welcome you here again, please have fun and be safe online and off.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.